Freya Osmond, Wicked Witch of the North. You are listening to Eat My Pagan Ass. What they didn't tell you know is that that ass hasn't been wiped for about 6 months. Filthy fuckers.
Welcome to Eat My Pagan Ass.
Eat my pagan ass, bitches.
Eat it!
I just gotta stick this rod in the hole over here.
Ouch!
Bend over.
We're just having fun, people.
Eat it!
Now!
Hey, everybody out there, this is Luckylicious, and you are listening to Eat My Pagan Ass, episode number 5. We have a fantastic guest on today's episode. A good friend of mine by the name of Miss Freya Aswin, self-acclaimed Wicked Witch of the North. And before we get to her, though, just gotta pass on the news that... Unfortunately, my beloved, my delicious, my delightful, and my very, very funny co-host, Miss Carmen Kickass, will not be joining us today. As you all might know, over the recent Memorial Day holiday, the Navy came to New York City. And when the Navy's in town, don't you dare call Carmen, because you know that bitch is busy. I think today she's at some sort of naval gangbang for all the... I don't know, she has this bet going with her friends about how many Navy officers she can get to go AWOL. If that's what they call it in the Navy, I don't know. So they don't go back to their ships. Their ships leave harbor without them, and then they're stuck here with Carmen. And then, of course, after she has sex with them, she chops off their heads and eats them alive, like the praying mantis that she is. So no Carmen, but she'll be back next episode. No crying, people. Okay. Now, Freya Aswin, what can I say? This is a woman who has been such an inspiration to me. She is an author. She's a teacher. She is a singer. She's an artist, a painter now. She's an animal lover, a champion of animals' rights. I just adore this woman, and I decided, hey, you know, I'm going to call up my friend. She's over in Spain. Ring her up using Skype and see if we can get her for an interview for Eat My Pagan Ass. And, of course, she consented, and now it brings me so much pleasure to introduce all of you fabulous people to this woman, and I hope that you're going to be as interested in her and as inspired by her as I am. And after the show, I encourage you all to go to our website, www.aswin.co.uk. But right now, sit back, relax, and here's Freya Aswin. Freya Aswin, how are you?
I am just fine.
So, Freya, the last we heard of you, you were living in the hills, some farm in Scotland, building your dream of Gladsheim. And I understand now that you've moved to Spain, the southern coast of Spain. Is that true?
Yes, that's correct. After I took the wrong people in my house in Scotland and it all went apart, and not the nice variety, may I add, I sold the house and I bought another one in Spain.
Now, I didn't know where, I'm not going to say where you are in Spain, but it looks like a beautiful sunny area, and I'm trying to picture you. Are there beaches there and, you know, tourists, or is it a kind of a touristy town?
No, yes, but it's a very small town, and yes, there are tourists, but there's also a large expat community, mainly British.
Is there a reason why people are going there? Are there political reasons? Do people leave Britain for political reasons?
No, I don't think there are political reasons, but I have a suspicion that there are economic reasons. I get at least 30% more for my money in euros than I used to get it in sterling.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah, and everything is cheaper, water is cheaper, gas is cheaper, electricity is cheaper.
So, Freya, why don't you tell us a little bit, you're very well known for your work in the runes.
Yes.
And on the podcast, we talk about runes a little bit, and we talk about Asatru a little bit, and heathenism a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought this would be a good opportunity because you're someone who's been in heathenism or in paganism for a very long time.
Yes.
Maybe you could tell us first a little bit about how you got started in magic and kind of where your path has taken you over the years.
Well, magic has always been part of my life. I was born with certain paranormal abilities, which was probably the cause that at an early age I ended up in what's known as the system.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And in order to survive that system, I had to be fast thinking, analyzing, and acting, because every bugger was bigger than me, and they usually had a bunch of keys or some other implement. So I had to develop my psychic abilities pretty fast, simply to survive. When I became a ward of the state at the age of 4, I gained my semi-independence when I came out at the age of 19.
This was in this was in Holland? At the
that
time?
Was in Holland, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And as soon as I came out, within a fortnight, I got involved with a spiritualist group and got a bit of basic training. Then I studied astrology as well, and that was funny because since I'd never been to any school other than, you know, up until about the fifth grade, I paid a 15-year-old girl to show me how to divide up a circle and what the angles are, because I was taught absolutely nothing. So then I started doing a bit of astrology, and I ended up involved in the Rosicrucian Order, AMORG, in Holland. And then I moved to England and got involved with Wicca, with both strands. I got my first initiation at the hands of Jim Bennett, but supervised by Alex Saunders. And then my second one I got of Lionel in the Gardnerian Circle. And whilst I was working in the craft for a number of years, people saw this dark hooded figure.
Dun dun dun.
Yeah. And I was told by those people who could see, oh, that is Saturn. You don't invite him in the circle, because as everybody knows, Saturn means shit. Big M. So the poor bugger hovered around for a couple of months outside the circle, and of course it was fucking Odin, but did I fucking know did that? Fuck, I didn't. I'd never even heard of him. I didn't know bugger all about anything Germanic, because the way things were in Holland, shall we say, it was extremely politically incorrect.
Oh, sure. After World War II, probably anything Germanic was...
Anything Germanic was totally out of bounds.
Yeah, I think I told you, I had a Spanish teacher in college once, and I had just finished taking a couple of years of German, and she was Dutch, and I made the mistake of asking her a question in German one day in class, and she said, "Don't you ever speak German to me. My parents fought against the Germans." And
so did mine.
So I learned that, yeah, the Dutch and the Germans still have a bit of animosity.
Well, the Dutch got long memories.
Hey, knowing you and that you're Dutch, that makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, you found out about the German stuff, and then what did that do for you? How did that open things up?
Well, somebody wanted to join my coven, and she was into runes. This was in 1980, 81. And she was, as part of the interview, she was going to do a rune reading for me. So she made the runes out, and she had some piece of paper with what they meant. And I had to touch the runes and lay them out. And as soon as my hand made contact with the runes, that was it. Quantum leap. That was it. I was wild. These were mine. Fuck astrology. Fuck Wicca. Fuck them all, the runes. And I started then The same day I made runes from clay and I made them from cake and I drew them everywhere and I really, because what happened was, the rune of knowledge just started streaming down. I got an overload in 24 hours. The basis of my rune of knowledge was downloaded in 24 hours. Then, this mysterious dark hooded stranger from the circle made himself known. It was Wodan, which later, of course, was Odin. But I started off in my own language, Wodan.
Wodan, that's the Dutch for Odin?
That's the Dutch, yeah.
Yeah.
It's always been my private, the way I address him privately. That's it. Anyway, more questions?
Yeah, you know, okay, we got, well, you're just getting onto a lot of topics here. There's the whole, let's go back to the basics here and tell us, what are runes? What are the runes?
Well, they're key symbols to mysteries. Each rune, there are 24 individual signs that look like letters. They have a lot in common with letters, but they are a lot older, and there's a variety of theories where they originated first. And the latest theory was postulated by a Swedish professor at Glasgow University, proving that the runes are definitely originating from the Germanic area. They are not an adaptation of any other alphabet. They are thoroughly native Germanic.
So they were an alphabet that was used much...
No. They became used as an alphabet later on. Originally, they were not. They were signs representing sounds and concepts.
So each rune is like a letter and is associated with a sound that taps into some kind of force or image or what? How do people use runes? How do you use runes? Or what do the runes do for you?
It's difficult to describe.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I've got an understanding of runes. I'm trying to get people on this. So, okay, there's 24.
Well,
runes.
Why don't you get people to phone in or email you, and then at the next podcast, I have a bag of runes here, and I can do some I can answer some questions for them and do a few readings via the podcast. How's that?
That's great. So if there's anyone out there listening and you have a question for Freya Aswin, she'll go ahead and pull some runes and give you your response. You can email your question to eatmypaganass@gmail.com. Let's talk about runes, you know, today, I guess. What kind of religious or cultural context are runes used today primarily?
But I don't understand your question. What do you mean? Are an integral part of the Northern European mysteries, with the emphasis in European.
So I think what I'm trying to get at is, you know, to talk about what kind of role runes play in heathenism or Asatru.
Well, that depends on the individual practitioner. I mean, when I got involved with a very small Odinist group in London in the early 80s, runes. I was the one who came along with a bag of runes, and the Cody said, "Oh, Freya, you're not cast of a spell on me, are you?"
He said, "What?" He said, "What?"
"Freya, you're not casting a spell on me."
Oh, you're not casting a spell on me.
Okay. Yeah, this was this old bugger. He was worried about, you know. It depends whether they are in, whether they use them or not. For magic or otherwise. I mean, there's obviously some people who are very accomplished with using the runes magically within the Asatru. But not everyone is involved in magic, you see, and this is obviously I'm first and foremost an occultist working with the runes. Second to that, I worship Odin. So yes, I'm an Odinist.
Mm-hmm.
And I am true to the Aesir. That makes me Asatru. I am not Asatru because by other people's definition, what they think is Asatru.
What is...
it's like people say, "Oh, Freya Aswin, she's not Asatru." How the fuck do they know the value of my trueness to the Aesir? What they mean is, I am not a member of that particular little club.
Yeah, yeah. You are sometimes, you know, being a prominent occultist.
Yes.
And some of your views, you seem to be a little bit, because you are an occultist, as you said, first and foremost, you have a more open mind about how the Northern mysteries fit in with what else is going on all over the world.
Well, of course!
Whereas I think a lot of people who become focused just on the Northern path...
But I did as well for the first 10 years.
Yeah.
Now, this is part of a normal growth process. Once I got involved with the runes and Odin, I dumped everything else. The craft, the fellowship of Isis, the OTO, the IOT, the fucking... But no, it was purely runes, 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 Odin, Odin, Odin. And that was necessary to set up the root of the tree.
Yeah, I think that happens, though. I mean, I know that happened to me.
Now I'm branching out again, looking at Mayan culture and looking at similarities, looking at other native traditions all over the world, organic native tradition, not artificially set up religious systems, and draw comparisons from there. Because after all, we all share one planet, and the evolution of consciousness in groups of people following a certain path will have certain similarities all over the world.
Mm-hmm. Whenever someone gets introduced to the idea of runes, almost always there's this fascination with them, and I guess maybe that's because they are very powerful.
Yes, they are. I mean, you just need to look at them and you can pick up on a vibe.
Can anyone use the runes you mentioned? You say, you know, like Northern European, but can anyone tap into the runes?
To a certain extent, yes. But of course, somebody who is Northern European, who has both the genetic coding and one of the original Germanic languages, like Dutch, from which English actually is derived,
mm-hmm.
according to a program by Melvin Bragg, The Origins of English, then obviously it's like everything else. A Chinese person will have a lot more deeper contact and ability to work the I Ching than me. But I can use them.
Right.
And it's the same with the runes.
Yeah, I can see how that works, because, you know, I have a fascination with languages. My native language is English, and then I picked up German very, very quickly. And I catch things in Norwegian and Swedish, you know, and they all kind of have this similar, you can tell. Yeah. And I can really see how the runes, given the meanings that we access when we meditate on them. We didn't talk about the runes as a meditation tool, but they're great for that, as well as for magic. I guess what I'm getting at is the importance of sound and the meaning of sound.
Well, they are originally sound, so chanting them correctly is one of the ways to use them for magic and polarizing.
So you were one of the first people who created a recording of someone doing...
Oh, I was one of the first. I was the
You were the
first.
You were the first.
Yeah.
And how did that come about? Tell us about that.
How? That was funny. Dave Tibet from Current 93 was living in the basement of my commune in London, and he had a visitor, Hilmar Hilmarsson. Hilmar is now currently our Helios Cody in Iceland. And then, anyway, I got introduced and we were just fucking around. They were fucking around with music and doing recordings and all that. And so I just basically, I wanted a slice of that action, obviously. So I chanted the runes. And Hilmar said to Dad, you got to record it. So we did. We went to a recording studio and I chanted one single Foo Fark, and that went out on a vinyl LP. This was in the 80s, they were big vinyl records. And yeah, there's now CDs as well.
So the first recording of Rune Chanting then would be on that current 93 single?
Svastika Svanodi, it was called.
What's it called?
Svastika Svanodi.
Swastika?
Svastika Svanodi.
Okay.
And, yeah.
Let's talk about the swastika really quickly, because that's something that comes up very frequently in Germanic things, and
yeah.
I think it raises people's people have a lot of discomfort with it, and you even
I get the same with people on the course. They Kveldover constructed this Nordic version of Lieberesch from Angrel.
Okay, right.
And
Aleister Crowley. She's talking about Aleister Crowley, everyone. Uncle Al.
Yeah. Anyway, and one of the exercises is to have a swazi stinging above and below. And lots of people find that still objectionable. So, you know, they replace it with a hammer or a shield knot.
Or a tampon.
Which is just as good. But the actual shape of the swazi, if you look at the modern Hubble pictures and you look at the galactic core, you see it swirling like a swazi.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really the meaning of it.
I think probably what a lot of people don't understand is that the swastika was around for a long time before Nazi.
Hell, yes. It was used in Tibetan, Native American, certain African traditions, Indian, even modern Indian. You see it everywhere.
So it's for those, like, I'm perfectly comfortable using it, and the reason for that is I believe in, you know, I'm gay, and like any minority, we have certain words like queer or fag or whatever, that epithets that people create for us that are supposed to become negative. And this is a little different, but it's kind of on the same path.
Yeah, but it's the same with women. You know, people call a derogatory term for women is bitch.
Right.
Now, if you just could see my bitch, bon bon, there she is. You look in her eyes, I'm telling you, there is nothing more lovelier than a bitch. That's my tattoo. Hey. Boom, boom! Oh, there it is.
Getting back to the swastika, it's just a way for, because it is such a potent symbol.
No, there is a lot more people died and tortured under the symbol of the cross than the swastika, so don't give me any crap about that.
That's right. That's right. And so we're just...
Now, people will use any excuse to exploit other people. People will use any excuse to exploit and distort other people's holy symbols. Hell, it's been done to me!
What do you mean?
Well, I worked on a very sacred personal path for about 9 years, from virtually when I started doing, you know, bloating out in every day. And it's a version of Lieber Astarte Velberellum, again, from Uncle Al. And I did that, obviously, and the object of my devotions was Odin. And the idea was, as it says, it's a kind of a spiritual, psychic union with your deity of choice, yeah?
Okay.
And I did that for 9 years, and then, thanks to Kveldover Gunderson, this objective was realized, and I entered into, a mystical marriage with Odin. And
so you actually married Odin?
Yes, and now everybody is at it.
Well,
you know,
this is gonna, don't take this the wrong way, but imitation is the best form of flattery. But
well, it's disgusting. I've never imitated anybody in my life. I carved out my own path.
That's because you're an original.
Yes, believe it or not, and I'm only going to say this, and probably you will get a lot of crap from people who won't accept it, and that is fair enough. But I am, as many as a handful of people know, I am a direct descendant. I am a Volsung.
A what?
I'm a descendant of the Vosinga.
Oh, okay.
I descend from Aslaug.
Now, that's going to be a little esoteric for people, but she's referring to, there's a Germanic myth about the Volsungs, and I guess just go read about it, and then you'll understand what she's talking about.
You know, and that is basically my bloodline. Not that I'm proud of it, because, as you know, my parents were the lowest of the lowest scum anyway, so it's not something, you know, but it is a fact. That's why, on a genetic level, I resonate with this.
So you're like a Germanic version of the Da Vinci Code. Instead of the descendant of Christ, you're the descendant of the Volsungs. Huh, that's interesting.
Yes. Oh, these bloodlines are real.
What do you think about the Da Vinci Code, really quickly, since we're on?
Well, I've read the original, and I think it's very plausible. Why shouldn't the man be married and have kids? He was a Jew, for fuck's sake. I mean, this whole wedding scene at Canaan, I mean, it was his own wedding. He was, you know, according to various scholars, that was when he himself got married. And why not? What is this obsession where they have to portray him as celibate and not married? I mean, you know, for what?
Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't make any sense. You know, one of
Well, it makes sense for the Roman Catholic Church, because if they can convince people to force that on people as a belief system, then it's kind of sex. Sexuality is one of the prime power bases of humans. If you can persuade people to live their sex life in according with your rules, whether that be celibacy or heterosexual or monogamy or gay, then you have almost as much power over them as, for instance, you force them to eat what you think they should eat. Do you understand?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
You know, it is one of the primal urges. And if you can persuade people to channel that in the direction you want, I mean, Nietzsche is right. It is the greatest sorcery on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Nietzsche calls it, the great sorcery. Well, it is. You know, you got people foregoing normal life on their say-so.
Let's talk about the word cunt for a moment.
The word what?
Cunt.
Cunt.
The C word.
Yeah, well, it's derived from canals, is it?
Right. You know, you make reference to it in your book, but of course they wouldn't let you print the word. But why don't you go ahead and tell our audience likes that word, so why don't you go ahead and tell them
but
a little bit about it.
It goes back to an old European root word, kunta or kunto, I don't know. It's about 20, 30 years ago I read that. But and it's linked with canals, queen, gona, and cunt. And the fact that it is nowadays seen as, you know, a dirty word, I don't see the point. Why do you have to speak Latin when you talk about your own body? You got to say vagina, why not just cunt? It's a good Anglo-Saxon word.
Right.
But it's been turned in a dirty word again to disempower women for the same reason. Bitch is turned into an ugly word for women.
Right. Well,
and I showed you my bonbon girl.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you know, the title of your book is Northern Mysteries and Magic, and then subtitled Runes, Gods, and the Feminine Powers. And you're known for being a voice for the feminine within the occult arena. And
Not within the occult arena, within the Asatru arena.
Oh, specifically within Asatru.
Well, yeah, because in the occult arena, this is something that doesn't play a part anymore and hasn't for the last 20, 30 years. Nobody gives a fuck whether you're male, female, or somewhere in between. As long as they judge you by the mind, not the body you're wearing.
Mm-hmm. So then what was the issue in Asatru?
And I started in Asatru in 83, 84. I was the only goddamn woman in the group, and I was accused of being a dyke, a feminist, the virago press, simply because I once, as an experiment, did an invocation using goddesses rather than gods. They were outraged.
What?
Yeah. You know, in that group they had this kind of imitation of Odin, Baldur, Frey, and Thor.
Odin, yeah. Baldur, Frey, and Thor.
And Thor. And it's some form of a cross. It's obviously a straight ripoff from the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, and I did it once, and I said, Freya, Freka, Holda, and I forgot, but this was the other one, but another goddess. And they were bloody outraged. But I was just, look, I was kicking against the traces. They were testing me and I was testing them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I realized that there was a great hostility to us women in British after through 1984. Now, this does not necessarily apply to American or British after through in 2006. We are more 22 years later. Let's be fair about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because most of the...
It's not an issue anymore.
It's very egalitarian, but, yeah.
But when I started, it was an issue. Within the Odinist community, I had problems with being a woman, especially with certain filthy bastards who could know for an answer and then started phoning up newspapers telling them that I was a Nazi and I was responsible for a bombing in Notting Hill in 1982.
Jeez.
Simply because I wouldn't fuck them.
So you've had to deal with some real assholes in your
life. Yeah. Yeah.
So what are then, what so you would say mostly just by starting by incorporating the goddesses' names into these rituals?
Yeah, was, that started it off, yeah.
How do you get on with goddesses these days? You talk mostly about Odin, but what's your relationship with some of the other gods?
Fuck if I know.
Yeah.
Somebody, and I think it may be the goddess Freya, but I've got absolutely no evidence. But let's put it this way. I have 48 hours tuition in art, and I'm producing fucking excellent paintings. Somebody is helping me to paint.
Really?
It's my eyes and my hand coordination. I can hardly move a mouse.
So,
you know, but my paintings, you know, they're not masterpieces. They couldn't be, not after a year with only 48 hours tuition. But they're not bad.
What kind of paintings do you do?
Well, I developed, you know, these runestones people have in the Northlands. I recreate, well, no, I use that idea and I put it on canvas. If you give me 1 minute, I plug the computer in and I will send you an image. Is that all right?
Yeah, sure.
Can we have a little break? I have to go for a piss as well.
Yeah, sure, I'll refresh my
coffee. Why don't you play some of my music?
All right, I'll go ahead and do that. And we'll be right back in just a few minutes, folks, with Freya Haswick.
Okay.
Of day, hail night and new moon. With appeasing eyes, look hither and grant us victory while we live. Hail Aesir, hail Asenya, hail bountiful earth, endow us with the gift of speech and healing hands. While we live, long have I slept, long I was sleeping, long are the sorrows of men. Odin chose to charm me to sleep when he cast a spell over me. Apple tree of battle dins, I bring you meat mixed with might and glory. Potent with spells and pleasure runes, with songs and consoling charms. Victory runes thou should know, if victory thou desirest, Thou must etch on the hilt of thine sword runes on the sheath, runes on the blade, and twice invoke Tyr. Save us! Save us! Hail, Rune, thou should know that another's wife whom you trust may not betray you. Allah, Allah, answers Magus Ura. On the back of your hand, on your horn, scratch them. And mark on your nails, need. No! Four sign thou should make on the meat horn, and cast a leaf in the cup. Then I know it will never be poisoned. No drink can endanger your life. Fairies are slaggers. Now, Prunes, thou should know, if thou would help loosen the child from the woman's womb, mark them on her hands, take hold of her wrist, and invoke the aid of the Alpha. See, Runes, thou should know, to save from wreck, sail steeds on the sea, carve them on the bow and the blade of the rudder, etch them with force on the oars. Throw high the breakers and blow the waves. Thou shalt sail safe into harbor. If a healer thou would be, who can properly probe wounds? It is best to carve them on the bark of trees, whose limbs lean to the east. Speech runes thou shalt know, so that no man out of hatred may do you harm. These thou shalt bind, these thou shalt fold, these thou shalt gather together when people throng to the thing to hear, just judgment given. If thou would be thought by all the wisest of mortal men. Odin devised them, Odin scratched them, Odin took them to heart. From the wise waters the waters then run, from the head of Heidrognir, from the horn of Hodrofnir. Petor. bookrooms, there are bathrooms, and all the ale rooms, precious rooms of power. Ensoiled they are, unspilled they are. Learn them and use them long, until the high powers perish.
Oh, that was so beautiful. Gives me shivers every single time. It just makes me cry almost. It's so beautiful. I get verklempt. Anyway, that was Sigdre Fumal by Freya Aswin from her album Songs of Yggdrasil. And I thought it'd be a good example of something to play because it includes some of her chanting or galdering, as it's called, where you actually sing a rune or resonate, intone a rune. And anyway, let's get back to the interview with Miss Wicked Witch of the North herself, Freya Aswin. Freya?
Yes?
Okay. I just got the paintings that you sent me. You sent me a bunch of your artwork that you've been working on. Freya Aswin, who is, for all of you out there who don't know who she is an author of Northern Mysteries and Northern Mysteries and Magic and the Principles of the Runes. She's also a lecturer and a teacher. She has an online...
And the Wicked Witch of the North.
The Wicked Witch of the North, that's right.
Yay!
So Freya has recently moved to the southern coast of Spain, where she is now... she's found another muse. Oh, I like that one. She's got painting. Painting is the thing now, Miss Freya Aswin. And these are lovely, lovely photos. I'll go ahead and put some up on the Eat My Pagan Ass website. And hey, Freya.
Yeah.
Are you would you want to do a painting for me if I paid you? Do you think?
Yes.
All right. I particularly like these astrological charts that you do.
Good. Now the way I do it is I get the astrological information and 50% of the agreed price up front via PayPal.
Uh-huh.
Then what I do, I first do the horoscope just as a printout. Then I look at what's there. And based on that, I use colors to incorporate in the painting. The chart in the middle, as it is with the planets, the houses, the aspects, and all that. But if there is, what I also do, if there is something in the chart which is a fuck-up, shall we say, then I write a little spell in runes on the canvas first. Now, that's invisible.
Oh, wow.
Now, for instance, I get a chart of somebody and I see there's lots of struggle, poverty, disease, whatever, I do a runic sigil first with a little poem on the blank canvas. Then I put the layer on, which I use to put the chart on. So that's totally invisible. So I embed a spell in it. Oh, my God.
Wow.
I do that for George Bush. You know, you think what I'm thinking?
I don't know what you're thinking.
Huh?
No, I don't know what you're thinking. Share. What's going on?
Well, if you can do blessings, you can do the other thing as well, can you?
I'm not following.
Right. Sorry, I want to kick some ass.
Oh, okay. Got it.
That's how I would do it. Like I did with my music stuff.
Right. Buyer beware.
I wouldn't do it. I'm not going to fuck me market up the ass now, do I? Now, everybody who gets a chart, what I will do, joking aside, I will emphasize the aspects, the strong aspects in stronger colors and the bad aspects in weaker colors. So I empower the better side, the positive, and disempower the negative.
Beautiful.
So you know, and of course, in your case, I either do the constellation or the graphic, like a crab or a Scorpio, or just the constellation, ripped off from space,
or a fabulous, radiant, golden-haired lion that's just beautiful like me, right? Leo.
Yes, that would be a lion. Yeah. And
you know, it'd be awesome. I'd love a lion with a Scorpio tail because I've got a Scorpio rising.
I mean, you get both, in that case, you get both lion and Scorpio.
Yeah.
But, you know, I got to look at the chart and then get the right imagery.
Yeah.
You know, I do it largely intuitively. You know, with your being a Leo, I probably would use a lot of yellow, red, orange, warm colors.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
That'd be great. I'll give you $1,000. No, I'm kidding.
let's be reasonable. I've got no idea.
What's that?
I've got no idea. I know what other people charge their paintings.
Well, how much time does it take you, typically?
Oh, 2 days.
A few days?
Well, spread out over a week, but the hours involved, probably 2 days, yeah.
All right, well, why don't we negotiate after the, we'll negotiate offline.
What do you think?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's okay.
Cool, I'm going to have a painting by Freya Aswin. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm psyched, Miss Aswin, psyched.
Yes.
Lovely. If any of you out there who are listening are interested in the runes, first of all, I would say get Freya's book, Northern Mysteries and Magic. You can get it at any bookstore or on Amazon.com or whatever. It's out there. Also, you can go to her website at www.aswin.co.uk. And that's spelled Aswynn.
Yeah.
And then also, she's got a link on her website that talks about the correspondence course. And it's a series that there's an entrance interview. And once you pass that, then you get to. I worked on the first few lessons of the course and really enjoyed it and found it very enriching. And each course is full of so much new information. Very, very worthwhile and very affordable, too. So,
Yeah.
So I would say check it out if you're interested in the runes.
Yes.
It's a lot more than just the runes, though, but that's kind of the skeleton that you hang everything on. But you get so much information that's very useful for any occultist.
Yeah.
You mentioned to me before that you are working on a second edition of Mysteries. Is that true?
Yeah. Northern Mysteries and Magic, Volume 2, yeah.
Wow. Well, I can't wait. When do you think that'll...
But then I started painting, you know, and so, yeah, I got to finish that off at one point. Yeah. I got some ideas, but that means, you know, I'm kind of branched out a bit more by drawing in other stuff. But at the moment, my head is in painting. It is basically like this. You've got two hemispheres of the brain, right? And I've always been totally working with one of them, and with my lectures, my books, my writings. Now I'm using the other one for painting, and I can't use both at the same time.
Mm.
I've got both abilities, but I can't use them at the same time.
Hey, I got a question for you.
Yeah?
What do you think about maybe on each of these... Well, first of all, you said that you'd like to come back and be on future episodes of Eat My Pagan Ass, and of course...
Oh, yes, I can answer questions, I can also, somebody wants, you know, needs advice.
Yeah.
Next time I've got my runes with me, I may be able to help people, you know?
Well, why don't we talk a little bit about, maybe on each time that you come on, we can talk about a different rune, just riff on
that's
it for a little
bit. That's a very good idea, yeah,
Do you want to do that next time?
Yeah, next time, because I want to meditate first. This was just a chat, so I didn't prepare.
Right.
But the next time I do that, I'm going to have some keywords just to make sure that I don't go off on the tangent yakking, and then later think, oh, fuck, I should have said this.
Uh-huh.
Need a little bit of structure for that.
Let's talk about astrology, because you've got some really good insight into astrology. How did you get interested in that again, and how do you astrology, like you've grafted some of your rune, like in your book you talk about applying astrological principles to the runes, and how, because they're both kind of a 12 base system.
Yes, of course.
They can overlap neatly with.
They can overlap. I mean, I started experimenting the last time I was in the States, is to do rune reading on an astrological chart. So you get the person's chart and you take a good look at that and you see what the dynamics are. That's the birth chart, that is the conditions laid down when they were born. And then you get somebody to put 12 runes, unseen of course, on each of those houses or signs. Mm-hmm. And you interpret the runes against the background of their own personal chart. You can extract a lot more information that way.
Oh. And how has that worked out for you? Do you get some useful readings from that method?
I've only done one or two as a demonstration, and people are quite happy with it.
Oh, okay. You know, I think that's one of the things that sets you apart from a lot of other people, and that's what is that your interest in experimentation.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you're always looking for new ways to access knowledge.
To access knowledge, to add to it, to integrate it, to go on a Viking raid in every other mystery religion possible and rip it off and turn it Nordic.
Hail Odin!
Odin!
Yeah! That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah. I strip mining the Western mysteries and all sorts, you know, to find relevant stuff.
Yeah.
Currently, I'm looking at Mayan stuff.
Now that's going to be interesting, because Mayan stuff, I look at that and the symbols are all...
It's your horoscope. I find out your Mayan astrology schedule as well, and I incorporate that in the painting.
Ooh, that's awesome. You know what's interesting? You know my friend Caldera Thorstein. You've met her a couple times. She's about your age, and you two have talked about your second Saturn return together. I don't know if you remember
her. Yeah.
Anyway, she is also very interested in Mayan and Aztec and Toltec stuff. She's gone down to Mexico a few times in the last few years. I think it's very interesting that you're also talking about that. I wonder what's going on, that this is kind of happening simultaneously.
Well, it's all working up to 2012, is it?
Oh, is that what it is? That's the end of the Mayan calendar. Oh.
Yeah.
What is that? Tell us a little bit about that. What is this Mayan calendar business all about?
Oh, they are enormous large cycles, and they're split up into certain units of so many days. I think it's 260. I can't repeat it all. You can find it on the net.
Yeah, okay. But there's some people theorize that it's, you know, the end of the world at this 2012 thing, right?
Well, I don't think it's the end of the world, as such. It may very well be the end of what passes for civilization.
Mm-hmm. Now, the Norse and the...
I mean, there's all the global warming and all the earth changes going on right now. I think it's very, very plausible that the whole lot will go basically to hell in a handbasket around that time.
There's like a Norse equivalent now with their Ragnarok. Let's talk about Ragnarok. What is Ragnarok, and how do you interpret Ragnarok today?
A cyclical thing. I think what's if you look at Völuspá, for instance, where the Völuspá goes on about the Ragnarok. If you look at the structure of that in English, and probably it depends on which translation it is, then you will.
This is Auden. This is the Auden and Taylor translation.
Oh, yeah, that's what I use. Yeah. Okay, she's talking in the past. So she's talking about a Ragnarok.
Oh, okay.
And it is possible that what she is talking about, the Volva being an inspired priestess, picking up, that somebody actually was the first person to come out with that poem. Mm-hmm. You understand?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Um, And I think it's a memory from a previous cataclysm, possibly involving Atlantis, talking from the past. It has happened. I don't think, people think Ragnarok is something that's going to happen in the future, but I think it happens psychically. There's more Ragnaroks. There have been many Ragnaroks, and there's going to be a lot more. But the big Ragnarok, the real end of the world Ragnarok, is when the sun turns nova.
The poem is, and we can do this probably in a better, like, more thought-out way down the road.
Yeah.
We'll look at the poems and talk about each one, maybe.
And talk about it and interpret them. But, again, I must have time to read through it, to make notes. Otherwise, I'll leave things out. I'm getting older. My memory is... It's still very good, but not as good as it was 20 years ago, where I could learn a whole Gnostic Mass in about half an hour. I can't do that anymore.
That's impressive.
When I did the craft, the charge in the craft, I never stood with a book in front of me.
Yeah, that really messes up the drama.
I did the whole lot. I learned the fucker. But that I can't do anymore.
Yeah,
and that's just physical degeneration of an aging brain.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
That's the way it is.
I think we're gonna go ahead and wrap this up because we're at an hour now. So, I'd like to say everyone again, we've been talking to Freya Aswin, author of Northern Mysteries and Magic and The Principles of the Runes. She's also published a CD called Songs of Yggdrasil. And Freya, thank you so much for chatting with us. I wish Carmen could have been here today. I know she's very eager to talk to you, but maybe next time we'll have her on the show with us. She's a delight.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so glad that you're going to kind of talk to us again on the podcast. Any of you out there, if you would like Freya Aswin to do a runic divination for you, you can send in your questions to eatmypaganass@gmail.com, and I'll forward them on to Freya, and she will do a reading for you on the podcast. I've also got to tell folks that Carmen is a licensed tarot reader, and if you would prefer tarot, you can talk to Carmen. But for runes, Freya Aswin.
I want to express my best wishes for an excellent time at Trothmoot for people who are going.
Oh, you're not going to Trothmoot this year?
I don't think I can do it again unless,
Well, that's too bad. I know everyone will miss you. I want to come visit you over in Spain.
Oh, that would be very nice.
Yeah, yeah. You have to meet my... I couldn't bring my dog over, but... I've got a golden retriever now who's just fantastic.
Oh, lovely.
His name is Seamus.
Oh, gorgeous.
He is so gentle and just beautiful, beautiful, beautiful.
Dog. Oh, yeah, what I'm doing here. Oh, is this still the podcast or not?
Yeah, we're still on, if you want to say anything else, otherwise we can...
Well, last year, Throgmuth, I said I was going to have to take a year sabbatical, first year, which I've done, the year is almost over, but what I'm doing now at the moment, because, I may be a bit famous in the States, I'm not known in Spain at all, but what I do rune readings at events for, which is Coastal Animal Sanctuary. I do rune readings for a couple of euros in a jar, and that money goes to abandoned animals, of which in Spain there's a lot. People just throw. I've got this lovely little puppy. Somebody just threw it out of the park.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, do you remember that dream you had about me in that spaceship?
Yes, I do.
Let's get something.
Yeah, that was a very, very vivid dream. I had a dream, I might as well talk about it by now.
Yeah, you may.
Several years ago, where Freya was under attack, kind of, and we thought she was dead. There were all these rumors that her body had washed up in a stream, and I actually saw the body, and it was very terrible, and everyone was just mourning that she had died, and we were all very concerned, and we knew that it was some kind of government cover-up, or that there was some kind of cover-up. People had been out to get her for a while. They finally got her, and we had really felt that all the forces of good had been dealt kind of a very strong death blow. Like, we were just devastated. And then, later on in the dream, I'm walking through this underground cavern, and I come across this giant hangar, and there's this very awesome, long, sleek, shiny spacecraft. And guess who's in the fucking cockpit? Miss Freya Aswin. And she's got this sly grin on her face, and she's like, "Lucky, of course I'm not dead. I've got to go incognito for a while, so I'm taking off for a while." But you know, that was that. But I was very happy to know she was still alive. But what happened was the hangar had been infiltrated and breached, and these people had figured out that she was still alive. And they started firing on the ship. So she fired the rockets and just took off, and they were unable to shoot her down. So that's pretty awesome. And now you're back, Freya. See?
Uh-huh. All right. Well, I enjoyed this very much. And whoever is listening, if you want me back, you know, we schedule someone on a regular basis.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Yeah?
All right, Freya.
But I'll have to go for the fish and a ramen joint.
All right, then. Have a good one for me.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And that, my friends, was the glorious Miss Freya Aswin. This has been Eat My Pagan Ass, episode number 5. We will be back in a week or so, and I hope again to have Carmen kick ass by my side, because I miss that bitch, because she cracks my shit up. And remember, send in your questions to Freya Aswin, or send them into Carmen, or send them into me if you want my advice about anything. I'm sure happy to give it. And, you know, don't forget to visit eatmypaganass.livejournal.com and leave us some comments. We'd love to hear from y'all. If you like the show, you know, send a review to iTunes. And, you know, of course, you can always drop me a naked picture at, just kidding, no naked pictures, but... Say hi, eatmypaganass@gmail.com. Okay, biznatches, it's time to say farewell. And hail Odin, as the Wicked Witch of the North would say. All right, peace out, hookers. Bye. Dance to her gypsy music till the blues dawn. Dog lady played black magic till the clock struck on the 12. She told me more myself. She dealt two cards, queen and a three, and mumbled some words that were so strange to me. And then she turned up a two-eyed jack. My eyes saw red, but the cards still stayed black. She said, "The man you love is secretly true to someone else who is very close to you. My you leave this place, never come back, and forget you ever saw my face." Dark lady laughed and danced and lit the candles one by one. Danced to her gypsy music till her blue was done. So I ran home and crawled in my bed. I couldn't sleep.